Coming up on podcast 1230, Tesla begins hiring for Gigafactory in Austin with their big recruitment push. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, Hyundai's IONIQ 6 makes the news, Volkswagen's plug-in hybrid plans, and Nissan introducing e-Power. But what is that if you're new to the podcast? I'll tell you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. What happened on Friday, 1st of October? Martin here, been through every EV story to keep you up to date and save you time. I've been traveling for a bit, unexpected travel, so recording this a little bit later than ideally. So maybe you're catching up, and thank you for your patience on that. Welcome to a new executive producer, Brian O'Leary. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining up. You're in the show notes now, and Brian, you, like every other Patreon supporter, gets access to the ad-free feed. If you want your pods with no ads, check out Patreon. Whether it's $5 or $10 or more a month, check out your unique RSS feed. All right, we'll start with news about Hyundai looking at the IONIQ to be on the market sometime in 2022. But they've gone back to the drawing board a little bit with some design changes at the last minute. We don't know if the final production interpretation of the IONIQ 6 will look like the prototype pictures that we found online, or maybe it will resemble more closely the Prophecy concept. That was stunning. This is a low sedan, much more of a sleek kind of Model 3, Polestar 2 kind of competitor. Inside EVs says that while previous prototypes have been spotted with cameras rather than regular mirrors, of course. You need mirrors in the US because of current legislation. These new prototypes have been featuring mirrors, whereas over here in Europe we can have the cameras. Maybe that'll be a cost option on the IONIQ 6. Hyundai is building the car, of course, like all of their future EVs, on their new dedicated EV platform. It's called EGMP, and that's surely going to share many components with the IONIQ 5, and indeed their previous EVs. Whilst the platform is a big step change from the likes of the Kona, which was always built to be either fossil or plug-in hybrid or battery, this new platform is only ever going to be used for EVs. So nice dedicated platform. But even things like the software, etc., the icons on the screen, all very, if you've driven an old Kona, even the brand new IONIQ 5 will feel at home. They spend their time really on things like the vehicle to grid or the vehicle to home system and the 800 volt architecture. That's all so good. We love things like that. And the battery pack on the IONIQ 5, 72.6 kilowatt hours, but on the IONIQ 6, because it's going to be a larger, more, I don't know, like kind of that executive class kind of car, more like 100 kilowatt hours, well over 300 miles of range, of course, according to some rumors on the IONIQ 6. Probably less of a family car, I would say, but wait to see that one hitting the market next year sometime. Next, Volkswagen's in the news, revealing their plug-in hybrid plans with more than 100 kilometers of range for their future plug-in hybrids. In the course of a presentation about their current plug-in hybrid models, Volkswagen let slip some details on their upcoming PHEV strategy. New generation of plug-in hybrids will come from 2023, says Electrive. The battery capacity and the range will be around 100 kilometers. Volkswagen's plug-in hybrids will in future have a fast charging option with a CCS connector. That will enable faster charging than the 3.6 kilowatts AC plug that they use at the moment. Media reports indicate that the onboard charger will be upgraded, probably to three-phase 11 kilowatts, but still, I don't know how you feel about that, but I do think plug-in hybrids should be limited to an AC plug, because if you start putting, like Mercedes-Benz have done, you start putting the CCS combo plug on plug-in hybrids, they still can't charge that quickly compared to a full battery electric vehicle. Now, if you buy a plug-in hybrid, here's my opinion, by the way. If you buy a plug-in hybrid and it's got a CCS plug on it, you are absolutely entitled to use a DC fast charger on the motorway. But the thing is, the infrastructure is still so immature. We need so many more DC fast chargers for full electric cars. A plug-in hybrid can effectively be blocking, I'm doing air quotes right now, blocking a DC fast charger. Well, the driver's doing nothing wrong. Like, they bought a car with that connector, they can use a charger, right? But still, in the grand scheme of things, you know, you have got an alternative source of power. Plug-in hybrids have small batteries, but I don't know, I think it's contentious. I kind of err on the side of, if I was on a plug-in hybrid and using a DC fast charger and a full battery electric car turned up desperate, you know, you'd probably unplug and, you know, move on, because you can use the petrol, right? So, I don't know. Whereas stick to the AC plug, and it means that plug-in hybrids can't use that swathe of DC fast charging networks. It just means that it's reserved for full battery electric cars. But I'm sure not everyone sees it the same way as I do. Next, we'll talk about Volkswagen wasting no time jostling for Germany's new political paradigm. Earlier this week, the man who prevailed in Germany's race to succeed Angela Merkel as Chancellor called on potential partners to join him in a new government, a coalition, as soon as possible. Olaf Scholz of the centre-left Social Democrats in Germany and is appealing out to the very environmentally minded Greens and the very pro-business Free Democrats to back a three-way coalition so that he can achieve power, or shared power, I guess you'll say, after recent elections. According to Bloomberg, only a few hours later, Volkswagen CEO, as in the wider company, not just the brand Volkswagen, Herbert Diess, was on Twitter, and he was sketching out the vision for VW with this new German government. A 10-point wish list, including calls for more renewables, banning coal, raising the price of CO2, scrapping subsidies for anything to do with gas or diesel. Herbert Diess trying to speed up the demise of the internal combustion engine. Only a few years ago, unthinkable for the head of the Volkswagen Group to be saying this. Now, the Social, or the SPD party, has repeatedly been calling on the car industry to be more ambitious when phasing out combustion. The party was instrumental in denying the auto industry in Germany the request for scrapping the bonus for old gas and diesel vehicles at the height of the pandemic. So we'll wait and see, but it looks like the political shift in Germany, of course, Europe's biggest car market, the home of the big German car makers, looks like it could be politically supporting more electric vehicles. But there's lots of bargaining to be done before that coalition is reached. It's not a simple, you know, wake up day after election day. Who's in charge now? So that's not a simple political system that some countries have. Right, let's talk about Tesla. Headline story today, hiring for open positions in Austin, Texas. On a hiring spree, the company's had 315 jobs posted on their website earlier this week. Tesla announced it was building their Gigafactory in Travis County back in July last year. In total, there'll be 5,000 people eventually, with annual wages starting at $35,000, says the local news channel KVU. Well, Ed Latson is the executive director of the Austin Regional Manufacturers Association, and saying that more likely jobs are coming when Tesla's plant begins production, which he thinks is going to be the end of 2021, according to what they've heard, I guess, in the local manufacturing kind of scene. But that's amazing. 300 more jobs for Tesla out of the 5,000 that'll be in Austin. Things are really ramping up, and the future, we'll find out tomorrow on Saturday's show, Tesla's, or maybe Sunday's show by the time I report it, Tesla's production and delivery numbers for quarter three. But, you know, they are predicted to be a record. It could be a million cars this year. And then that's before Austin's open and Berlin's open. That is incredible. So much momentum behind Tesla right now. You'd hate to be working at another car company that really is kind of EV denying, or maybe just getting like one or two cars on the market and still trying to flog your shabby old petrol cars. I can't think of someone. Almost said their name, but I also called their cars shabby, so I won't say their name. They're not shabby cars. They're just combustion cars, which I have no interest. Right, next we'll talk about Nissan introducing e-power to the Sylphy car. The Sylphy is a Chinese car and the first model equipped with e-power series hybrid technology for customers in China. Been doing really good business in Japan. They call it electrified cars. And the first introduced car in Japan was the Nissan Note back in 2016. E-power has been really well received. 500,000 units by the end of March have been sold. 500,000 of these things are on the road. The e-power Sylphy in China will, they say, set the pace for Nissan's rollout of six more e-power cars in China. And they're really pushing their electrified e-power technology. But let me tell you, this is not electric technology. It uses electricity. There's no plug socket on it. Series hybrid. So the only way to make it move forward is to burn hydrocarbons. That's harmful to the planet, and it's harmful to the human beings that are suffering from a multitude of respiratory diseases, etc., etc. They call it electric technology because it has an engine. You put petrol in it. The engine makes electricity. It's a generator. And then it charges a little teeny-weeny battery, and that battery is constantly charging and discharging, and your actual propulsion, the motor, is an electric motor. So you get all that fun of instant torque, electric power, but there's no plug socket. So you have to put petrol in it. And anything that you have to put petrol in is a combustion car. So you'll see this called e-power, you'll see it called electrified technology, even some people calling it, electric cars. It absolutely isn't an electric car, in my opinion. So don't be fooled on that one. I'm bringing you the story, not because I want to talk about e-power, because I don't like it at all, but it gets attention. You see big journalists talking about it. You'll see, you know, people writing about it, misinformed, but don't be. Be aware. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, what are the biggest battery manufacturers in the world today? We're going to find out. And Citroën expanding their range in the UK. Stick around. Now, let's talk about SEAT further electrifying their range with the launch of the SEAT e-scooter. It's called the e-scooter 125, the SEAT Mo, as in just M-O, like the name Mo. Interesting. It's equivalent to a 125 motorcycle, costs £5,000 in the UK, and you get the a government grant to help you with that. You can get it for £95 a month on hire purchase as well. I think this is going to be amazing around towns and cities where you can plug in, and then you can just zip about on two-wheeled power. And a name like SEAT, which you'll be more familiar with than the kind of pure bike names in the EV world, might give you that confidence to say, well, I want a scooter and I know the name SEAT, so yeah, I'll get that. 9 kilowatt electric motor, equivalent to a 125cc, a top speed of 60 miles an hour, that's 95 kilometers an hour. It'll get off the line, do 0 to 30 miles an hour in about 4 seconds, so it'll feel nippy. Has 85 miles of range, that's 137 kilometers, and a 5.6 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery pack, which you can pull out. You can lift it out, take it into your office, your home, your apartment, if you live in a flat or something, and charge it, and then that seems like a great solution. It is 40 kilograms. It's a heavy battery, so it comes with a little kind of wheelie caster set so you can drag it along behind you. Pop a link to Electrive in the show notes. Right, so let's move on. Talk about batteries. The biggest battery makers in the world. Who are they? Well, I'll give you the top 10 rundown in reverse order, like a chart show. number 10 is PEVE from Japan. Guozhen, a Chinese company, at number 9. Japanese AESC at number 8. Number 7 is the Chinese company CALB. SK Innovation from Korea, we talk about a lot. They're number 6. Fifth biggest battery maker for EVs in the world is a fellow Korean company, Samsung SDI. In fourth place, BYD, the Chinese company. In third, Panasonic, very famous for providing those cylindrical cells for Teslas, the Japanese company Panasonic. In second place, with a big, big market share. So all those companies that we've talked about, less than 15% market share, nearly all of them in single figures. But the two big players are LG, Korean company LG. They're the second biggest EV maker in the world, battery maker in the world. But by far and away, with almost a third of the world's EV battery market, is the Chinese company CATL. You'll hear them called Cattle as well, or Cattel. I've heard Sandy Munro calling them on his videos recently. And they provide... They became more famous recently because they started providing energy for Tesla Model 3 standard range in China and all Model Y as well. Before then, the wider kind of EV community hadn't really heard of them, but, you know, the Tesla effect, I guess, on that one. Right next, Citroën is expanding their UK offering with the eSpace Tourer, and they've got some XL versions of this. Now, I love this. I would absolutely love to own one of these for 4 or 6 months just to see how it fits into your life. It's just a people carrier. Well, it's not. It's a van with seats. It's like an 8 or 9 seater. Okay, so it's like an airport shuttle run. It's like a hotel shuttle vehicle, or I don't know, if you just keep popping out kids and you've got one of these giant families, it'll be good for you. I'd love, you know, because we live near the beach and we've got an outdoorsy-ish kind of lifestyle with our little kid, and so I'd, you know, love to see how this works with throwing bikes in the back or beach stuff in the back, even though we don't need all the seats. Well, as with the diesel-powered version, there's the M and the XL. Now they're doing it with the electric version. So we've had the M version for a while. Now there's the XL version. It's 5.3 meters long, compared to 5 meters for the M version, and same wheelbase, it just adds more space inside the vehicle. The business edition will seat 9 people in 3 rows. The second and third rows are a 1/3, 2/3 split as well, so you can always fold them down for practical use, or even take the seats out as well. It's got the ISOFIX points for baby kid seats, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, you know, good aircon, 7-inch touchscreen. It's a nice van to drive. It has a 50 kilowatt hour battery pack, 100 kilowatt charging, and 143 miles of range. It's that same spec from all of the kind of sister cars to those Citroëns. So a great little base spec. I would like to get the bigger battery on offer in the UK. That's not on sale. It is in other markets. It's a 75 kilowatt hour battery. But look, this comes in at 31,000 for the smaller version, the M version, but 32,500 for the XL. Look, this is a 9-seater, 140-mile pure electric vehicle for 32,500 grand. Now, you do get the government grant off of that because it's below 35. So that is the price you pay, by the way. It's normally a pound under 35, and you take the, well, it's 5 quid under 35,000, so you take 2,500 off. So 32,500 for a pure electric 9-seater vehicle. You know, taxi companies, private hire companies, that is so, so cool, amazing. Right, next, power cuts may be stifling EV demand. China's power cuts could put a dent in the booming EV market in China as the suspension of charging stations themselves continues. Analysts saying the South China Morning Post. So, of course, anytime we read out anything from Chinese media, we have to be aware that Chinese media is China, of course. So this is how China feels. The power blackouts in 10 provinces could sap EV drivers' appetite in those regions where take-up is already low. In northeast China, electric cars have been greeted with a lukewarm response for many years, said Zhang Fan, a car insurance broker. The power cuts could siphon off buying interest in EV power. So China is so pro-EV that I rarely see a kind of a negative EV story coming out of China, but this one, I think, is reasonably negative because it's saying that the rolling power cuts could harm EV demand. Or maybe you can spin it and say, well, actually, it's raising awareness of these rolling power cuts and the need to get the grid in China onto clean, green renewables. That is their plan by 2060, I believe. Finally, China's car makers are indeed making cheap electric vehicles. As the world enters the world of electric vehicles, we see a change with Europe's makeup of cars and the affordability of cars, says Euronews.com. According to a report from the data analysis firm Jato Dynamics, the average price of a new electric car in China since 2011, so over the last 10 years, it's fallen. The average price of an EV fallen from 41,000 to 22,000 euros equivalent. It's halved in price over the last 10 years. While China's manufacturing capabilities are not in doubt, the question is whether they can innovate at the same degree and get that reputation as the Western counterparts. But it appears they are. That question's been answered with the battery technology that they've come up with, the self-driving technology and the likes of the XPengs. And so will the makeup of the European car park change over coming years? I'm saying yes. You know, long-time listeners of this podcast know my opinion on this. I think that the traditional car makers are in for an absolute shock in terms of the price that Chinese cars could possibly come in at in Europe and the USA. I know so many people, like, I'm really into cars. You might really be into cars because you're listening to an EV podcast, but so many people don't care. They want to get from A to B. Like my wife, like, she likes the VWs that we've owned. We've had fast Skodas and an Audi TT, and we've had some nice cars in our history, but she really doesn't care the badge on the front. She likes nice cars. Like when we had the Jaguar I-Pace last year. Like, she loves it. Don't get me wrong. She appreciates the luxury, but also she'd be as happy in a Dacia because it gets her from A to B. So I think, you know, we've seen the likes of those brands, Kia, Hyundai, over the last 20 years. They were like absolute dog boxes, careful what I say there, 20, 30 years ago. They are amazing cars now. And I predict the same as we saw with South Korea over this decade. It's happening. I'm telling you now, it's happening. These Chinese cars are going to be everywhere in the next 10 years because people will buy on price. But hey, so many of the established car makers disagree with me, and what do I know? Right, question of the week. On Sunday, we'll read out your answers with emobilitynorway.com, talking about reasons why you would or wouldn't go back to combustion technology. And if you know anybody that's gone back to a fossil car, why that is. Thanks so much for listening today. Our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.